Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. And what a pleasure it is to come before these microphones and to bring God's good word for all of us today. We're continuing our series of messages concerning Jesus Christ, dealing with the question, is he really who he claimed to be? Is he really the only begotten, virgin-born Son of God? Is he the only one in whom salvation can be found? He claimed that himself, and we have found that to be true. We've examined the witnesses for quite some time, the witness of Jesus himself through the Gospel of John, and now beginning to examine the witness of the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the witnesses, which include all of us who are the children of God. As Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." First here in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then to the uttermost part of the world. For us today, that might be, you shall be my witnesses right here in your hometown, or in your home street. And then from your home street, branch out to include other streets, and a bigger area, and your hometown, and then your home county, and then branch out from there. We are all witnesses of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. We'll examine that more fully today in our message. Well, let's go to God in prayer before we turn to God's Word. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the wonderful blessings that we enjoy from your hand. Thank you for your care and your keeping of us as your children. Thank you for being our provider, our protector, our wonderful heavenly Father. Father, help us to see somewhat from your point of view in that you are the protecting, providing Father, the loving heavenly Father, and we're the little children. We're to come as little children to you, and we're to bring all of our problems to you. We're told to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, big and small, bring it to you with thanksgiving. And you promise then that your peace, which passes all comprehension, all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful promise that is, and how faithful you are, Father, to your word, to keep it and to perform it. Father, today as we open the Word which you gave us, Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Speak through me, I pray. May the words I speak not be my own, but may they be yours, spoken in me and through me, for all of us to hear and be edified, be blessed, be instructed, be built up by your Word today, Father. May it glorify you and may it benefit us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today for a good word from God's Word from the Bible. We're turning to John chapter 16 today, and here in John chapter 16, Jesus is giving some of his last instructions to his apostles. And he's telling them about the Holy Spirit. Now, we can go back to John 14, 15, and 16, and we'll find that in all of these chapters, Jesus is speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you a couple of instances, for example. Back in John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." He goes ahead to say that he's speaking of the Holy Spirit who is yet to come, not yet come. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." What's the Holy Spirit's purpose? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? To reveal Jesus. Jesus came to reveal the Father. That was his purpose. He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." The Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus. He will bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He is your teacher. He is your guide. He is your comforter. He is the one who empowers you, who emboldens you to speak and to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God within us today, within you and me. In John 15:26, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." So it is the Spirit's purpose to reveal Jesus to us, to introduce us to Jesus, to draw us to Jesus. The Spirit's first job, according to John chapter 16, the words of Jesus himself, is to convict us of sin. You know why? Because that must happen before anything else can happen. We must be convicted of our sinful state in order to confess that and recognize our need of a Savior and come to Jesus, accepting him, receiving him into our heart and to our life. To as many as believe in me, to him he gives the power to become the Son of God. Gives the power to become the Son of God. What is the power? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who instructs us of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who illuminates the Word as we open the Bible and read it. We should never sit down to read the Word of God without asking the Holy Spirit, the author of the Word, to reveal the Word, to illuminate the Word, to teach us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to teach us and to reveal to us Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, in John chapter 16, verse 7, where we are today and where we begin today, and let me just read here. I want to read from verses 7 through 15 to be the basis of our message today concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now he said previously in John chapter 14, "I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit." Now Jesus is saying here in verse 7, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. So when he goes away, the Spirit will come. In fact, we see Jesus ascending to the Father on day 40 after his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit coming in power and glory on day 50 following his resurrection. So there's a 10-day period of time after Jesus ascends to the Father until the Holy Spirit comes on that group of 120 gathered in the upper room and coming in power and glory and settling upon them, and they go immediately out into the streets of Jerusalem, and they proclaim the message. They share the message, and each individual hears the message in their own language. Now, I think there's a little bit of confusion about what's happening here. You see, the miracle here is not that they were speaking in other tongues. The miracle is that those who were hearing in their own tongue. Now, how can I speak some words? How can I speak anything and somebody hear it in English and somebody else hear it in Spanish or somebody else hear it in Chinese and they hear it in their own language? I cannot speak it in those three languages or multiple languages at one time. You see, the miracle here and the work of the Holy Spirit was to enable the hearers to hear the message that was being spoken, in this case, the message of Peter, the beautiful sermon that Peter preached there in Acts chapter 2, they heard it in their own language. Oh, my friend. Yes, they were speaking in other tongues. Yes, speaking in other tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit. But you know, Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that it's the least of the gifts, not the major of the gifts. It's not number one on the list. It's the least of the gifts. It's the last one on the list. He says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that, you know, you speak in tongues and do not prohibit speaking in tongues. He said, don't speak in tongues publicly unless there is an interpreter, someone to interpret into the language that that the people need to hear this. Tongues are not to be spoken publicly unless there is an interpreter present, someone who can interpret that. I've had that happen in the churches where I'm pastored. And I've said simply, someone speaking in tongues, and maybe there's no interpretation of that. And I said, please do not continue to do that because there's no interpretation. And when the Bible tells us when there's no interpretation of that speaking in tongues, that it is not to be done. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's a good instructive chapter concerning tongues. Now, I have spoken in tongues. I don't do it a lot. I prefer to speak, as Paul said, in the intelligible language. But listen, there's a prayer language. There is groanings that are understood only by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterances. We may not even understand them. But the Holy Spirit does, and God does. You see, God understands the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit interprets for us. The Holy Spirit speaks for us. Romans chapter 8 is such a wonderful chapter. It speaks of, starts out, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, my friend, we're not condemned. In fact, it asks the question, then goes ahead to ask the question, who will condemn us? Will God condemn us? And the answer is no. No, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God the Father will not condemn us. Then it says, will Jesus condemn us? Oh, no. No, Jesus won't condemn us. He died for us to pay sin's debt for us, that we might be forgiven of our sin and restored to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then it asks the question, will the Holy Spirit condemn us? And the answer is no. No, the Holy Spirit is our mediator. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings and utterances that we just, a language we don't even know, a language we can't even understand. Sometimes, you know, we get to the point in our prayer where we've said all the intelligible words we know to say, but there is a groaning within our spirit. And it may be that just there is a groaning that comes out. That's prayer, dear friend. God understands that. You know, a little child of yours coming to you, and he's crying and he's hurting, and he may not be saying a word to you, not a word that you can understand, but you know what the problem is. You know that he's hurting. You know that he needs comfort. You know that he needs you there at that particular moment. And that is very much the case with us and God our Father. Let's remember, God is our loving Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes I think we dwell a little bit too much in the Old Testament in the sense of dwelling with the law. The law is fulfilled, remember. Jesus fulfilled the law. We are not under the law. In fact, the coming of the Holy Spirit ushered in a new dispensation, a new age, a new period of time. And we call it the age of the church, or the church age, or the age of grace, or the age of the Holy Spirit. It is all of those things. It is a new dispensation of time that we're in today. We're not under the law. We're not under the old covenant. The law has not been done away with. The law has been fulfilled. I sometimes get a little concerned when there are people who are clamoring so much for the Ten Commandments to be displayed. Well, the Ten Commandments is Judaism, not Christianity. Now, are the Ten Commandments part of Christianity? Yes, of course. The commandments for us, the Christian commandments for us, are in the New Testament. Jesus gave them to us in Matthew chapter 22, when he said, in response to the question, what is the greatest of the commandments? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is likened to the first, he said, to love your neighbor as yourself. He went ahead to say then that on these two commandments hinge or depend the whole law and the prophets. What's he saying? They're wrapped up in these. You know, if we love God with all our heart, soul, our mind, our strength, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, are we going to violate any of the Ten Commandments? The answer is no. We're not going to kill. We're not going to steal. We're not going to covet. We're not going to place any other gods before us. We're going to honor each day as God has given us the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. Our commandments are broader than the Ten Commandments. The two, love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to focus on these, dear friend. We need to focus on these. These are our commandments in the age of the church, in the age of the Holy Spirit, in this age of grace in which we live right now. And by the way, since I've spoken of this dispensational age, there are seven of these ages, and we're in the seventh, the last of these. Let me just take a moment to share these. I don't want to get into any great discussion of them, but the first of these is the age of innocence, from creation until the fall of man in the garden. That didn't last very long, apparently. It didn't take mankind very long to sin and to fall. But the age of innocence there in the beginning of creation. Then secondly, the age of conscience, when Adam and Eve knew right from wrong, and that went until the judgment of the flood in Genesis chapter 9, a period of time that was rather long, but ended with the flood when God destroyed the earth with the exception of Noah and his families and two animals, two of each of the animals. Then there is the age of human government, the covenant with Noah, and that extended on to the time of Abraham, when there was a new covenant given, the age of promise, the promise to Abraham, from Abraham's call to Moses. And then the age of the law, from the giving of the law to Moses to the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's our Old Testament. That's our Old Covenant that we speak of. That's the law that we speak of, the Ten Commandments and the law that was given to Moses. Now, we're not under the law. We are under grace. Law has not been set aside. Law has been completed. Law has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the law and the requirements of the law. The wages of sin is death. That's the requirement of the law. And Jesus paid the debt upon the cross of Calvary, when he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. So the age of the law, from Moses until the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then comes in the age of grace. The age of grace, beginning certainly with the new covenant. Jesus said, a new covenant that I give to you. Hebrews does such a wonderful job, especially verses or chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10. Mark that and read those. Sit down and read those four chapters. Hebrews 7 through 10. What a wonderful job it does of presenting Jesus as the one who fulfills the law. Jesus as the one who completes the law. Jesus is the one who paid sin's debt for all of us. You'll find there in those chapters that he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, in order that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So those are the dispensational ages that we can identify. The age of innocence, to begin with, the age of conscience, the age of human government, the age of the law, and then the age of grace that we are in at this present time, or the church age, sometimes we call it. And that's proper also. So we're in the age of grace. We're not in the age of the law. Now, the benefit of the Old Testament is instruction. It gives us a lot of instruction that we need. And, of course, the Old Testament points to the coming of Jesus. It points to the New Testament. It points to the New Covenant. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is important for instruction, but we don't live in it. We aren't in it. We're in the age of grace today. We live in the age of grace, and I am so grateful. I am so thankful that we live in the age of grace and not in the age of the law. My sins are not covered today by the blood of animals, as they would have to be in the age of the law. My sins are gone when I confess them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I speak of that verse often. It's so important to us today, and we tend to kind of forget it. We slip back into works. We slip back into the law. We think that works are so important. We think that keeping the law is so important. My friend, loving God and loving our fellow man is what's important. What Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, our sin has been paid for. Every sin we commit has already been paid for, so that if we come to God and confess the sin, God, our Father, is faithful, first of all, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is just in doing that, or he is justified in doing that. He's not just overlooking it. He's appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ to that particular sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ paid for that sin so that that sin can be removed. It's paid for, paid in full. It's not going to be brought up again sometime. It's gone. It's gone. We have a difficult time of understanding that. It is so amazing, God's amazing grace, that he would take that sin, apply the blood of Jesus, and cleanse us of that sin, and declare us righteous, and fill us with his own righteousness, so that we become the very righteousness of God. And we're sons and daughters of God to have fellowship with him through the power of the Holy Spirit, who indwells us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the age in which we live, the age of grace. Oh, I'm so grateful for God's amazing grace, yes. You see, grace is undeserved favor. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We can't do anything to deserve it. We never will do anything to deserve it. Just get that out of your head. It is given freely by God to all who will receive it. God gives it without price. The price has already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's receive God's grace and be thankful for it and rejoice in it. What a wonderful, wonderful time we live in. This age of grace, the New Testament. The testament of the blood of Jesus Christ, where he has paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. Get that in your head. And don't depend upon your works to get you to heaven. Don't depend on your church membership. Don't depend on your works that you might be doing. Oh, my friend, it won't get you to heaven. Now, once we're a child of God, works will determine what reward we get, but we need to be careful there, because it's really the works of God that we permit him to do in us and through us, not our own works that come out of our own mind, come out of our own head, or come out of some suggestion somebody made that we ought to do. It comes out of surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, to surrendering to his lordship, and allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us and to work through us to manifest the power of God, to manifest the works of God. The Bible says we are created unto good works, but it goes ahead to say, it is God who is at work in us to work and to will for His good pleasure. We're to surrender, we're to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Him to work in us and through us. Now, the very power of the Holy Spirit is working in us. I started reading in John chapter 16, verse 7 a moment ago, and I just got verse 7 written, so let's come back to it. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they, the world, do not believe in Me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold Me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, the devil. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now listen, that's so important. What's Jesus saying? I will send the Holy Spirit to you. He is your helper. He is the one who is to guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, Jesus says, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit, first to convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And then once we're a child of God, once we've been indwelt by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, then the job of the Holy Spirit is to be our helper, our comforter, our teacher, our guide, the one who reveals Jesus to us. Jesus said He will not speak on His own initiative, but He will take of Mine and give it to you. Whatever He hears, He will speak. Whatever He hears from where? From God the Father. You see, it was the purpose of Jesus to reveal the Father. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us. That's the way it works. You see, all good gifts come from the Father. They come to us through Jesus. And they're manifested in us and through us by the Holy Spirit, the very power of God. It goes back to the Father in the same way. What we give back to the Father is taken by the Holy Spirit, goes through Jesus Christ back to the Father. Now, it's wonderful that it happens that way, because you see, what we give then is sanctified by the Holy Spirit and going through Jesus Christ back to the Father. So that's the channel. The Holy Spirit is so important to us today. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth of God. He doesn't speak His own words. That reminds us of the very words of Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus said more than one occasion in the Gospel of John, I do not speak My own thing. I do not do My own thing. I speak what I hear the Father speaking. I do what I see the Father doing. The Holy Spirit is the same. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus, and Jesus is the revealer of God the Father. That's the way it works for us today. So the Holy Spirit is the very power of God within you and me today. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict us first of all of our sin and bring us to Jesus. And it's Jesus' purpose to save us by His own blood. And we're to become sons of God, born into the kingdom of God. Then it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, the very power of God within us, the one who enables us to grow up, the one who empowers us to do the works of God our Father, the one who emboldens us to speak when we would be too afraid to speak otherwise. The Holy Spirit, the age of grace, the age of the church, what a wonderful age we live in. What a wonderful Father we have in heaven. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful Holy Spirit, the very power of God within us. And this, my friend, is a good word from God's holy word today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.